Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I am your humble host, Jason Logan. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the podcast as we look ahead to one of the big weekends of NFL betting, playoffs down to its final four. You get the Eagles hosting the Niners in the NFC Championship and then the Bengals visiting the Chiefs for an AFC Championship rematch on that side of the bracket. One guy who's happy to have his team in the championship Sunday here is my man Dell, who watched his Eagles take care of business against the Giants in the divisional round, and now a slim home favorite against San Francisco. How are you feeling heading into that game?
You know, as Kobe once said, job's not done, right? So job's not done. We were expected to be here, and now we'll see what they can do against the Niners. It's going to be a really tough game, but it's going to be a good one, that's for sure.
As a Cowboys fan, I find it impossible to root for any team in this one. My mom is a San Francisco Niners fan, and she wasted little time shit-talking me immediately after that game on Sunday. I'm talking like the final whistle went, and then my phone dinged, and she was throwing me some shade. So,
well, I don't blame her, because Cowboys fans talk the most, so when they lose, they're going to hear it the most.
Yeah, so I told her, I was like, I just want the earth to open up and swallow both teams. But the better in me has an opinion on this game, and we will get to that as we progress. So before we start the show, we ask that if you do have a couple seconds and you like what you're hearing here on the Sharp 600, please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate the love. We appreciate any feedback you can throw our way. We appreciate your time. All right, Dell, you're all ready. 600 seconds on the clock, please.
Okay, let's go.
All right, so let's start the story here. We're going to talk about opening odds, line moves, current stand for the two title games, starting with the NFC Championship game. Eagles at home to San Francisco. I was at the desk when these odds were coming out on Sunday night between the after the 49ers, of course, beat Dallas. And a bit of a mixed bag in terms of point spreads. The offshore openers, which were out first, Eagles -2.5. You had some other mainstream books coming out, -2, -1.5. That eventually settled into a market consensus of Philadelphia -2.5, which is what we're seeing right now. And we're seeing some places jacking up the juice on Eagles -2.5, indicating maybe a potential move to 3. And we saw DraftKings Sportsbook actually dip their toe into the field goal market early this morning. It went to -3 and then instantly took Niners money. The market sat at 3 for about 10 minutes and then went back to 2.5 after those people grabbed the Niners at +3. This is something that I talked about in my Bet Now, Bet Later article that I put out on Sunday night. I believe that the market would come back on the Eagles. I believe that we were going to see a 2.5 as the consensus, and there would be a shot to get 49ers +3, and that may still happen. Again, books reporting heavier play in terms of ticket count and money on Philadelphia as of Tuesday. And another thing that I pointed out in the Bet Now, Bet Later article was jumping on the under right away. The total came out of 46. It has ticked down a bit, 45.5, not a massive downtick, but you have two run-heavy teams, two very sound defensive teams butting head, and this could turn into a game of keep away, especially when it comes to the Niners. Super slow, methodical pace, actually the slowest in the NFL in terms of seconds per play. The forecast for Philly, though, looks like great football weather considering it's the end of January. Forecast calling for temperatures in the high 40s, cloudy skies, no snow, no rain on Sunday afternoon, winds gusting up to 9 miles per hour, which is nothing. As for bets for me on this game, Dell, I took
your Eagles
money line -130 on Sunday night. It was the first bet I made when this spread was down around -1.5. The money line now back up to -140, -150 range. Overall, I just feel like Philadelphia is the better of the two teams. And then we saw San Francisco really benefit from just some bonehead plays from Dallas and some bad luck from the Cowboys. And I don't think the Eagles are going to make those same mistakes. However, the big edge that stands out for me in this one is Philly is the number one seed in the NFC, so they get to host this game. The Niners are not only playing on the road in what's going to be just a frenzied Philadelphia crowd, but this situation is something that the Niners have not had to deal with much in the last 3 months. The schedule makers gift wrap San Francisco the softest slate in the second half of the season. This team played only 3 true road games in the final 11 outings of the season. They had a neutral site meeting in Mexico City. They roughed up Arizona in week 11. So one of the 3 road games that they played, the true road games, was in Seattle, a tougher venue. Then the next 2 ones were SoFi in LA and Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. 2 venues that were completely overrun with San Francisco 49ers fans. They were de facto home games for the Niners. And if you watch them, the crowd was so pure San Francisco in those games. add to that schedule shock, you've got young Brock Purdy under center for the 49ers, who's making his first road playoff start in Philadelphia of all places. Now, he did play, he made some throws, he played pretty steady, but not an outstanding game from him. Faced a lot of pass rush, which he's going to get again here in Philadelphia, and he just missed getting picked off, I'm going to say, at least two or three times in that divisional round win. And the Eagles, if they get ahead early, which they have been known to do, it puts a lot of pressure on Purdy to make those plays. It unplugs the San Francisco run game as well, too. And we have seen San Francisco struggle on the road. It doesn't come to mind because we haven't seen them play on the road a lot. But if we look back at the entire season, they suffered three of their four losses as visitors. They're 3-4 ATS in true road games compared to just 10-2 ATS in those home and neutral site matchups. So in the AFC Championship game, some wild line movement due to the Patrick Mahomes high ankle sprain suffered in the divisional round. He was injured. He stepped out. He came back in. He finished the game, but notably slowed by that bum wheel. And as someone who has had multiple severely sprained ankles, I actually broke my right ankle, played college basketball, a lot easier to deal with at the time. You throw some tape on it, it stays pretty loose. The adrenaline's pumping. You can play through it. However, give that sucker a couple days to seize up and swell and stiffen, and it's a different story and much harder to get going. Mahomes says he's going to play. Reed is confident his guy is going to play. But there is a risk of re-injuring this, especially if the Bengals pass rush can get him on the move and test his mobility. The spread opened as high as Kansas City -3 at FanDuel on Sunday night. That is where it opened. It did not stay there that long. Other books came out with a spread of KC -1. Some shots had -2. Others were bouncing around a pick 'em. And the Monday morning, though, action, we saw the Bengals pushed over the fence, become favorites. It played a little bit of ping pong between -1 and +1, but eventually we saw it go -1 and then -1.5, now sitting as high as Cincy, -2.5 at some shops. Kansas City, a rare home dog here, actually, which is a tempting take considering we've only seen this four times since Mahomes had that breakout season in 2018. However, KC was a dog in those games for a reason. 1-3 straight up and ATS as a rare home underdog. And then I did take Bengals money line on Sunday evening. Got them even money. Right now, the money line around -130-ish range. Kansas City coming back +10, +115. So not only is the Mahomes injury fueling the early opinion here, but books are taking one-sided play on the Bengals in these first 48 hours of action. We also have a Cincy squad that has just went into a snowy Orchard Park and put it to the Bills, dominated on both sides of the ball. Couldn't look any better right now. And then you add into the fact that the Bengals don't fear the Chiefs. There is no psychological edge here, nor do they give two shits about Arrowhead. Cincinnati has won three straight matchups with Kansas City. They beat the Chiefs on their own turf in Arrowhead in last year's AFC title game. I don't think that's that much of a factor for them. The total is just going to be as interesting here in the AFC Championship. Sunday night, the over-under was as high as 51.5 points at FanDuel. It opened there for, I'm going to say, maybe 30 seconds to a minute. It was there. Other operators came out 49, some places as low as 48.5. And then the market started to sink down to 47. I said in my Bet Now, Bet Later article that if you want the over for this game, wait it out, get it on the other side of 47 points, which is a key number in NFL betting. And while a number of books are still clinging at 47 points, we have a lot of 46.5 still available. A couple things could keep this total there, or maybe just sink it further as well, too. The Chiefs aren't going to be giving out any information. They're not going to give the Bengals any intel in terms of Mahomes and his mobility. I don't think we're going to see Mahomes practice or participate in anything. Maybe Friday, if that. And his absence is going to anchor this market. But we will have an earful from the media about how cold it's going to be in Kansas City. Forecast calling for the field-like temps in between 6 and 9 degrees. No snow, no wind. It's going to be pretty clean, but I think people might have a knee-jerk reaction on the under because of how cold it's going to be. I don't think it's going to impact the game, really. And then you've got two overshadowed defenses as well, too. Cincinnati stop unit has been just as instrumental to their success in the second half of the season here. Number 7 in EPA per play during this winning streak. Great secondary, great pass rushers, is great defensive line. And the Chiefs defense, too, pretty damn good. They can get to the QB with just 4. A young secondary, but is playing really well. Since losing to Cincinnati in week 14, KC, number 7 in EPA allowed per play. Number 4 in EPA allowed per dropback. Passer success of just 40.1%. So if you think you're getting a good deal with the short over here, just don't sell the defense a short, especially considering the last three times we saw these teams play each other, they had totals of 50 or more. They went 1-2 over under in those games as well, too. All right. 2-minute drill prop markets are out nice and early, which is a beautiful treat. So we're going to jump into them right away. We're going to start with Bengals running back Samaje Perine. He got 7 carries for 33 yards in the win over Buffalo. Now, Perine is more of the blocking back, but the Cincinnati ground game had an awesome day against the Bills. We're super effective. And Kansas City is susceptible to the run. As good as their defense is playing right now, 21st in EPA allowed per handoff since losing to Cincy in week 14. And Perine had a massive day versus Kansas City in that matchup. Joe Mixon was out, so he got 21 carries, went for 106 yards, so the capacity is there. His over-under prop for the AFC Championship is as low as 15.5 yards, as high as 17.5. We'll split the difference. We'll go 16.5 over minus 110. Cincinnati's going to have to mix in plenty of run as well, too. They got to keep this Chiefs pass rush honest, especially with this patchwork offensive line. Perine is the better blocker as well, too, so he could get some better reps. And then Cincinnati definitely wants to chew up the clock and play a little keep away from Mahomes as well, too. So Samaje Perine over 16.5 yards rushing. Our other prop for the NFC Championship game, we're going to go over Jalen Hurts rushing attempts. You can find 9.5 out there, minus 114 for the over. You can go over 10.5, plus 110. Hurts rushed 9 times against the Giants. He just sat below his total of 9.5 Saturday, but there was no real urgency for him to run. They were up big. They didn't want him injuring his shoulder anymore. This one's going to be different. San Francisco's pass rush is great, so I think we're going to see a couple pass plays maybe get tucked under his arm, and he's going to have to run. And then I think we're going to see more design runs for him as well, too. He's one of the best running QBs in the league. And if we look at close games, he's been super, super active in terms of attempts. If you look at the 7 games in which he ran 10 or more times, 6 of those games have been decided by 1 score. We have a very tight spread for this one. I think Hurts is going to have to do some damage with his legs. You got 2 pretty strong defenses, too. I think we're going to see those QB sneaks as well. So you can go over 9.5, which seems pretty safe, minus 114. Over 10.5, pumping out the expected value, plus 110. One more here before we end it, though. You can find Hurts to score a touchdown as high as plus 132 right now, which is a fantastic price considering his touchdown markets have been kind of banking around minus 110 to plus 110 for a long, long time. So I like him to score a touchdown as well, too. That is it for the Tuesday edition of the Sharp 600. To remind you, please rate and review the podcast if you get a couple of seconds. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. We appreciate that. We're going to be back for the Friday show looking at some props and additional bets. We'll have the Team 600 teaser. We'll have Arthur from the Superbook running down the action report. So until then, good luck.